At this time, I'd like to call up Brother Amado. He's got a special announcement for all men.
Good morning. As everybody knows me pretty much, Amado, the older brother, the handsome one of the bunch here. I started the hairstyle before him, just to let you know. Just wanted to start putting this on our calendar. In the past, you know, when we were attending previous churches, we did a man camp, which is a Heartland Christian camp. And just a quick story. I went probably like 15 years ago. You know, I didn't want to go. These guys called me like at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Hey, let's go shoot guns and all this stuff. That's how they got me up there, shooting guns and stuff. So I said, all right, I got my shotgun. I took off, you know, but I didn't know, you know, God never wastes time, you know. And I wanted to start kind of putting this on our calendar for the ladies also to encourage your men. So we're going to start, you know, start getting together, see how many guys we can get up there this year. It's March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's a blessed time. And what I want to share is that, again, God don't waste no time. Wherever you are in your walk, whether you're a seasoned Christian or you're just starting off, this is a great event, a great weekend to, you know, continue to build your walk or also encourage other people that, you know, that you want to bring along, you know, as far as in your walk, you know, relatives, you know, your sons, your nephews, you know. So it's a great opportunity. This is just a quick announcement just so we can kind of start getting the ball rolling. And also, you know, it does cost some money. It's gotten a little more expensive like anything, right? You go to McDonald's and now it's like $100 to buy a Big Mac or something like that now. So my son called me yesterday, Dad, go to Super Burger. I didn't know I was going to spend $50 on a couple burgers, you know. So everything's gone up, what I'm trying to say. So we'd like to start possibly doing some fundraising, but if not, we start chipping away at it. You know, and what I ask guys to do is, you know, you guys come see me, we sign up. You know, at any time we start signing up, I'm going to start putting it together. And if you can give me $5-$10 a week, that kind of helps, you know, towards the, you know, I think it's like, how much is the mic? $300. So that covers the food. It's all these meals, you know. Oh, $213. So it covers the entire weekend and it's all the meals and everything. So it's basically that's what it is. But, you know, that's a cheap price to pay to, you know, to build your walk in Christ. Amen? All right. So come see me, sign up, and, you know, and I'm going to, you don't have to sign up because I'm going to come up to you anyways and I'm going to encourage you to sign up. So the reason I'm taking on is it's hard to say no to me too. So just amen, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, just to piggyback off of what Brother Amado says, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you, my walk actually started by going to man camp. But I was invited to man camp. I didn't make it to man camp that year, but I went the next year. I'm going to tell you that right now. It starts there. It's a blessed time. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. You'll actually be a better man for it. At this time, I would like my children's ministry to meet Brother Amado. He's also teaching. Man, see? God works in mysterious ways. He's teaching Sunday school, too. Here we go. Right? So children's ministry is going to my right, your left. And let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing in the church, Heavenly Father God. Not just these four walls, Heavenly Father God, but four walls everywhere, Heavenly Father God. You're moving a mission. You're making a movement, Heavenly Father God. And God, I lift up, Matt, all the men to you that are going to say yes to going to this camp, Heavenly Father God. And God, right now, I'm going to lift up the children and children's ministry to you, Heavenly Father God, that you continue to teach these kids in your ways, Heavenly Father God. And, you know, they will not depart, Lord. Be with our message today, Heavenly Father God. Be with Pastor Michael. Let his message just penetrate in a powerful way, Heavenly Father God, so that it can touch each and every one of our hearts and that we can become doers of your word. Heavenly Father God, I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. God is good. It's funny, before my brother leaves, he actually has, I have a similar story for Man Camp. Actually, I wasn't going to go my first year either. And I actually had gotten saved 2 weeks before that Man Camp was up. I was still trying to navigate my way. It's like, yeah, I would say, it's not like when you get saved, you have this holy moment and the light shines you and a dove's like, oh. No, you still have a lot of problems, right? You're still working it out. And I was very, obviously, I had just gotten saved, very like a baby in my walk. My brother calls me on a Thursday night. I don't know what it is about men that we wait till like the day before you have to leave is when we call, huh? He calls me on Thursday and he says, "Hey, bro, I signed you up for men camp." I said, "You couldn't have told me like a month ago? How long has this been in the works? I know you've been working on it." And he's all, "Well," and I told him, "You know what? I'm too busy. I'm not going to be able to make it because I actually have to work on Friday night. I'm not going to be able to make it." He said, "You know what? But I already paid for you and I can't get my money back." And I said, "Oh, okay." And that's how he got me, actually. He guilt tripped me. He's like, "I already paid for you. You got to go." And I said, "All right, I'll drive up." You remember that? I drove home Friday night and ended up coming up. And I'll tell you what, God meets us at our need, wherever we are in our walk, right? I had a Moses moment on the mountain. You know, God will work in different ways when you put yourself away from the phone, away from the TV, and just you and God seeking him earnestly. And I was new in my walk, so I was like, "I don't know what this is all about, but God, I'm here now. So what do you want, whatever you want me to do," right? I'll tell you what, I met God on that mountain, and I promise you, it is the weekend. I'm not trying to just hype it up. It is the weekend where I really, like, I got saved, and that was a weekend where it's like, there's leaps and bounds in your walk, and then there's sometimes you just take off. And I'll tell you why I know, because I came back, and Stephanie didn't come home with me that time. She was actually still in the Bay Area. And so I went to man camp, came down. I went to every session I could go to, how to be a better dad, how to study the Bible. I went to some real serious ones about things that men struggle with. And I needed to hear all of that. In fact, I actually walked into one of the sessions and I was saying, "God, I'm struggling with this one area. But if I'm making a deal, I'm not Gideon. I said, God, if you will meet me here, if this is what you want me to do, reveal it to me." The next all chapel meeting was about the topic, and I swear to you guys, I was like sitting back there by myself. There could have been nobody. I mean, it could have been, the room was full, but I'm telling you that God was only talking to me and just right in my heart. And I said, "God, you are so real." And I surrendered. I'm telling you, I broke some addictions up there on the mountain. So I'm just giving you as a testimony of God's goodness, right? Even if it's a little bit, sometimes it's a little bit of a gimmick to get you there. It's like, "I already paid, bro." But you know what? God knew what he was doing. And so I'm thankful for my brother, number one. He's the one that was always consistent to getting. It's like, "You got to come to church. You got to go to church." I'm like, "That's good for you, bro. I'm good. I was in denial. But listen, this is a great opportunity. If you got some folks that are on the fence, it's always tough to say, you invite them to Bible study, you invite them to church, and they're like, nah, I'm good. So you tell them, it's like, "Hey, we're going to go camping. We're going to go hang out. We're going to go do zip lining, and we're going to do guns." And you could tell them, yes, there's chapel. Yes, there's men. It's awesome, though. You have a great time. So just a little quick plug-in and testimony of my own walk about what God did. And here's how I know, right, that it was something amazing that happened on the mountain. I came down. I talked to Stephanie for like 3 hours in a row. I'm not kidding you. I was so excited coming down the mountain. She probably, like, I felt like I would have been like, Moses, my face was glowing, right, from my encounter with God on the mountain. And I remember talking to Stephanie. I said, "Stephanie, you don't know. Our life is going to be different now. It's going to be so different from this day on." And she probably was like, "It's crazy. What did they give him up there?" But that's where I, honestly, I had already given my heart, but really God did amazing work with me on the mountain, right? So if you don't, if that's not enough encouragement, man, you got some people on the fence that aren't plugged in. Yeah, you might. That's a requirement. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I love it. And on that, we're gonna sign them up. That's how we get you too. We're not telling you. But listen, sign up. Talk to my brother. Listen, how many of you guys used to go to Kmart and put some stuff on layaway? I remember that. We'll do the same. Hey, just bring $10 every Sunday. $10. Before you know it, the 200 at the end. And listen, we never want finances to be a barrier. You guys know that. We don't want that to be a barrier. So especially if you have somebody to say, "Hey, that needs to be there, come talk to us. Right, come talk to us." But let's start the layaway plan, yeah? On Kmart, we'll sign you up. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Switching gears here to the service. I'm already excited because we relived my man camp moment on the mountain. But today's message is called A Thrill of Hope. It's the season, right? It's Christmas season. We got, and don't we need, doesn't the world need some hope more than anything right now? Doesn't the world need to hear a message of encouragement, but more importantly, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Amen? So let me ask you guys a quick question before we get started. How are you guys doing in your Christmas shopping? How many of you guys are, have you guys started? Nobody started? Oh man, you guys are all like me. So I normally do my shopping, the 23rd is about when I start shopping, like do my stuff. Because I'm thinking about it, I'm praying about it, I want to get the perfect gift. No, I don't enjoy shopping. I think I have a good knack though. Like I'm like, eh. And Stephanie knows because I'm like, and I was like, oh, that one, you know. And it usually it's pretty good. I think you know, guys. Do you guys struggle with trying to find the perfect gift for your spouse or significant other? No. How about the gals? You guys struggle? You guys already know. It's a struggle, huh? It's kind of hard, particularly if you're like. You know, I always say, like, I think Stephanie would probably have it hard to try to find me the perfect gift. Because it's like, I tell her, it's like, she'll ask me, what do you want? Nothing. What do you need? Nothing. Like, I'm good. I got a good one right there. Brother Justin says he's already her perfect gift, so he doesn't have to give her nothing. No, it's tough, huh? And maybe when you were younger, when you were dating, like, you tried even harder. I used to try really hard. I would be like over the top and I would do all kinds of gifts and that kind of stuff. I don't do that anymore. Just being honest with you. She fell in love with me already, so no, I'm kidding. But listen, we struggle with the perfect gift, huh? Here's another question for you guys. How many of you guys have gotten into the habit, like let's say you get a gift, it's kind of, you open it, it's like, and you get it and you're like, you know, be honest. Like you're like, okay, I already have one or, and then you end up regifting it. How many of you guys are into regifting? One person. Oh, one honest person. Oh, two honest persons. I'm going to raise your hand for you. Yes. Amen. I like that. There it is. That's great, brother. You just encourage all of us. Because we feel kind of guilty. We're like, oh, man, we're regifting this thing. But you're right. We're blessing it forward. Amen. But, man, it is... It's hard. And, you know, again, this season that we talk about in Christmas is so much about the gift, about the present, about the toys under the tree. But listen, today we're going to learn about the amazing gift that we already have in Jesus Christ, the most precious gift that we can receive. Number one, it validates and tells us that God loves us, that He cares enough, that He doesn't stand on the sideline. He's not, like what some people will say is like God created and then He stepped away. No, He didn't. He came into the world, sent His Son for the forgiveness of our sins because you guys all know that we need a Savior. Amen? So in Jesus, we have the perfect gift. So if we must re-gift, re-gift the gift of Jesus. Amen? Never goes out of style. Always looks good. Never fades. Doesn't run out of batteries. Right? Doesn't come in 10,000 pieces. You'll step on later and hurt your foot. Don't give my kids Legos, okay? All right, let's jump right into it. Today we're going to be reading out of the book of Luke. And last week we started the book of Luke chapter 1 with the section the angel Gabriel visiting Elizabeth, right? And we started talking about what John's role was going to be in terms of setting the way and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. You guys remember that? That's that first portion of Luke. And we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to pick up in verse 26, because now we're going to see a second visit when Gabriel comes down and he visits Nazareth to to talk to Mary about what's going to happen with her. So let's read that. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, again, that's her cousin who is now pregnant with John. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. Man, what an amazing encounter there that we see in that chapter. And again, like I said, I was recapping last week that the angel Gabriel had already come and visited Elizabeth prior to that, 6 months prior to, and now she's 6 months pregnant, where we pick up on today's chapter. And so the first message for today, or the first fill in the blank and the key point, is number one, that God's plan for your life is greater than your plans and circumstances. God's plan for your life is greater than your plans and circumstances. Now, Mary, if you pick up going back to the passage in the scripture, Mary was doing what? She was about to get married. She was engaged to who? To Joseph, right? They had the plan that she was going to get married to him. And then suddenly the angel Gabriel appears to her and say, "Hey, I know you have your plans." Because she probably had plans. I'm sure that Joseph was, they had, you know, made arrangements. Think back to when you were young. And you maybe were dating or you had just gotten engaged. Did you have plans of how your life was going to be? You did, right? Now fast forward and how are they now? Did they, all of those plans materialize? No, right? If you go back and you say, "Man, some of those plans, I wish God would have maybe spared me some of the heartache and some of the pain." But if we're honest, we sometimes make some of those decisions as well. We derail our own. Sometimes God has a plan and we like to have our own plan. It's not always the same, right? How many of you guys have a car that has a GPS on it? Or your phone, right? And does it talk to you when you're driving? It's a turn right in 200. You guys don't have that? Turn left. Yours is, right? But sometimes that thing doesn't know the traffic. It doesn't know. And then you skip it. It's a U-turn. U-turn. Turn around. You missed it. Did that happen to you guys? And it's like, just be quiet. I know, right? Life is like that sometimes. We have our own plan, right? We want to have our own way. And God is trying to, and sometimes God will take us on a different plan. God will derail us a little bit because our plans, right, are not God's plans, and His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. We're thankful that He's sovereign, and that He's all-knowing. And so God's plans for your life is greater than your plans and circumstances. Just the same way we pick up in Mary's story, she had a plan for how her life was going to be, but there was a little bit of an interruption by the way of an angel showing up, Gabriel, right, and telling her, "Hey, guess what? You have found favor in the Lord, and now you're going to give birth to His Son." Isn't that amazing? Now, number one, if an angel ever shows up, man, that's kind of scary, huh? Number one, it should be. Honestly, if you ever, it was like, whoa, right? But God was changing her circumstance and rerouting her a little bit to give her even a greater blessing. Now, she could have responded a couple different ways. She could have said what? "No, I have my plans. I love, what's that? I love him, Dad." No, not the difference. No. "I'm so in love with Joseph. He's gonna leave me. He's not gonna believe my story. He's gonna think something else." Because imagine if you're Mary and having that conversation with Joseph. How do you think that conversation went? "Joseph, let me tell you what just happened last night. The angel came to visit me. And now I'm conceiving the Son of God." And she's like, "Somebody else came to visit you, not the Son of God." Does that make sense? Can you imagine how that would be? And Joseph is a man of faith too, but it's like, man, that's kind of, you're stretching it, because until then, who had ever heard of this ever happening? Right? Nobody. It's never happened. And it hasn't happened again. So that's a tough one to swallow. Like, Joseph's like, what? You're pregnant with whose baby? Right? She's on the Maury Povich show, and she's like, who's the dad? Like, God is the father, you know? Oh, my gosh. You are not the father. No, God is the father. Amen? But can you imagine that story and how that plan is? I'm sure that there was a lot of tension going on right there in that conversation. In fact, if you go back and you look at the Gospels, it does tell us that Joseph had planned to divorce her secretly. He didn't want to put her through the shame, right? So imagine, right? That gives you a little bit of context. There was some conflict there. There was some tension. God was derailing Joseph's plan too, just like he was derailing Mary's plan. But God had a greater plan in mind, and it was bigger than her circumstance, right? And life is that's going to happen. That's just life, right? God, sometimes he interrupts, but we have to trust that his plans are always better, and we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make as believers in Christ, as followers, and we know who God is. We got to say, you know what? Okay, God, you're redirecting me. Let me just put my pity party away. Let me just be quiet. Let me seek your face out. Let me just pray about it. How are you redirecting me? What do you want me to do? How am I going to glorify you in this season or in this U-turn of my life? Amen? Because trusting God is key when we're being redirected, but we got to know that his plans are greater. His ways are higher than ours. You know, I think if you go back to even just locally, right? If you would have talked to my brother and me, like when we were in our early 20s, that we'd be serving, planning the church together, I tell you, there's no way. There's no way. But God was planting a seed. He was doing something. If you guys would have seen Stephen when he first showed up to LVC, he was like this guy, like he thought it was all hot. He had that hat. He would wear the hat all straight. And I was like, who is this punk kid? Amen. He'll say it. He'll admit it. He's kind of a little bit of a hothead. I remember that. If you would have known him early and you said we're all planning the church together, you said, there's no way. There's no way that these guys are serving God and doing God's work. But look, he redirects us for his own glory. Amen? It's just a blessing to be a part of it. Number two, the second point from today's message, God will give us peace in the middle of our fear. When life is being redirected, God will give us peace in the middle of our fear. And we see that in today's passage where she says, how will this be? Mary asked, since I am a virgin, right? And she became anxious, she became afraid. In verse 29 and 30, actually, she was greatly troubled as well about his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. Amen. So she was afraid. I would say, listen, if the angel Gabriel showed up, I would be afraid. Like, what? What did I do wrong? Right? But God will give us peace in the middle of our fear. Mary was troubled, rightly so, by the words and the weight, right? The angel gave her reassurance. He said, don't be afraid, because you found favor with God. And it's a powerful reminder that God doesn't limit our fear, but he gives us peace to face it, right? There's two sides to it when you encounter a situation like that. You can have peace or you can have fear. You can let your mind and imagination run all kinds of crazy ways. Has it ever happened to you when you encountered something, a situation, and you just immediately, your mind starts racing about the worst thing that could possibly happen? You start projecting all the worst and terrible things and all this other stuff, and then what happened? None of it. In fact, 99% of our anxieties and fears never really materialize, right? This is why God, there's 365 different scriptures in the Bible that says what? Do not fear. Do not fear. He's the Prince of Peace. Don't fear, don't fear. Because that is how the enemy works. He plants that seed of fear. He gives us that anxiety. But when we trust in God, he will give us peace. We have to remember who we belong to. Amen? We live in a world that's full of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of tomorrow, right? But we can experience the peace of knowing that God is with us. The birth of Jesus Christ is ultimately the greatest expression of God's favor on humanity. And as believers, when we accept that, the Bible tells us what? Right? John chapter 14, that he sends us, even he sends us the Holy Spirit, right? He's a counselor. He's going to comfort us. He's going to encourage us. In Isaiah, we find out that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? He's a wonderful counselor as well. That the weight of the whole government will be on his shoulders, meaning we can trust him with all things. The reason why we have fear and anxiety is because what? We put the burden on ourselves. And we think that we have to figure it all out. That we're going to, and we say, no, you know what? God, you are sovereign. You can carry this. I can't. I'm going to trust my Savior. I'm going to trust my Lord. I'm going to trust God with the situation. And he meets us at our need. You know, I've been encountered with certain areas in my life. How many of you guys, I mean, our brothers in the back recently went through like a car accident. How many of you guys have been like maybe like a pretty serious car accident in your life? We have. And isn't it interesting how in a moment of chaos, right, like I'll still remember, I'll tell you guys a quick one. We were driving, we were younger. I still had hair, brother. It was fabulous. Blow dry. But we were younger. It was a spring break. It was raining. We were going to Magic Mountain, and it was raining. We hit a puddle. We hit the back of an 18-wheeler going 55. On the freeway, traffic, a lot of traffic down in Valencia. The car starts spinning. Right? It's me, Stephanie, two of my cousins in the back. And I just remember, the thing that I remember, because whenever something like that happens, they'll tell you, things happen in slow motion. I don't know how it is, but things start to happen in slow motion. And I'll tell you instinctively, we weren't all plugged in. Like we were, the thing that I remember was Stephanie praying. I promise you. Stephanie just started praying. And I was like, because I remember looking and we're just spinning slowly, slowly. And I remember thinking to myself, we're about to die because we're going in traffic, sliding through, not in the fast lane, but in the third lane over. And then I just remember hitting something. I was like, oh my gosh, we're still alive. But then I realized that we're still on the freeway, right? And then I start to look to my left and I said, I'm about to get killed by this car that's coming in the fast lane because we started veering this way. God is awesome, right? In that stretch of freeway, there's nowhere for you to go except for where we spun out. Happened to be about a 30-foot shoulder on the fast lane side where we spun out and we hit and we ended up crashing here and then all the cars going past us. I'm telling you, God has a different, to me, I said, that's one area where I know God showed up and protected us, right? I've been in a couple others, but you know what? I've been in some times where the Holy Spirit would just step in. I wasn't even walking with the Lord right, to be quite honest with you. But I just remember Stephanie praying, right, as we're turning. And I've been involved in other traumas in my life where outside of God being there, it would have been absolute madness and chaos where the emotions are so high, where you're angry, people are angry, people are hurt. And here's what I'm telling you, that God is real. The Holy Spirit is real because he will fill you with the words to say and give you sense of peace that surpasses understanding. We had one that was very traumatic in my family early on, the situation that we had, and I remember I walked into it and people were crying, people were mad, and I remember I just what's going on? And I remember honestly just say, you know what, praying about it, God use me, and being able to speak life to it. I'm telling you, I don't even remember half the things I said, but I know God was guiding my conversation that day, and that's how we know that he is real. That's how we just don't read about this. We know his goodness because we can see it. We experience it in the middle of the storm, in the middle of some real trauma in life. He gives us peace in the middle of that, the middle of the chaos. in the middle of our fear. Number three, the third point for today's message is that God makes the impossible possible. God makes the impossible possible. Now, my wife makes a cake called the Impossible Cake. It's pretty good. It's like chocolate with flan and some other stuff. I don't know if it's keto, bro. We're gonna have to figure that out. But no, we're not talking about impossible cake. We're talking about God makes the impossible possible. Now, how do we know that? Right, because Mary in verse 34 says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, who your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was unable to conceive is now in her 6th month. Amen. God makes the impossible possible. Amen. And we should all be thankful for that. Because listen, every single one of us that has given our life to Jesus Christ, look at your old life before. And look at your life now and you say, "Man, God, you made this possible for me? I thought that was impossible. Man, do you know this hardened heart? Do you know the kind of sinner that I was? Do you know that, man, you made that possible for me? You love me like that?" And that's just the gift of salvation. Now, here we're talking about, and you can hear this a lot, when you talk in the world, "Oh, yes, the Virgin Mary. You know, you're going to hear that a lot. That's the number one thing. You talk to people who are unbelievers, and that's the one that they always come up with, right? I said, "Okay, you won't believe in the virgin birth, but you will believe that everything exploded out of nothing." God is awesome. He speaks life into existence. Of course he can do that. Of course he could cause her to conceive, right? Elizabeth and Mary himself. He's God. You know, and so, but in a tangible way, for us that are believers, look at how God has done the impossible through the salvation of sinners like us, through the peace and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Amen? He makes the impossible possible. And we have to have faith, you know. In the 1800s, there was a guy by the name of Johann George Mueller. I don't know if you guys are into history, but when I go through and I start prepping like material, I go on a rabbit hole sometimes. Like, I'll start looking, and it's like, show me a story about. And there was this guy, he lived in England, and God got a hold of him in his 20s. And what was interesting is that he said, you know, he would just spend time alone with God and the Holy Spirit. That's it. He was starting to go to like seminary and other things, but he just said, "God, just reveal yourself to me through the power of the Holy Spirit." And God started showing him and encouraging him and called him to start to plant. To start opening orphanages and schools. This is a guy that didn't have a whole lot of training, but he knew God, amen, and he was faithful to the call. Now, at one point in time, he had about 5,000 orphans in the city of England. 5,000 orphans. They had 5 different houses. Now, what's interesting is that one day in one of the houses, they didn't have any food. They had no bread and no milk, and he had about 300 kids there. It was breakfast time, and so he called them all up. He got them all together, and he did what he normally did every Monday, every morning before they had a meal with the kids. He prayed. He prayed over all 300 of them gathered around the table, and he prayed. He says, "Father God, we're so thankful. You're so awesome. Thank you, Lord God, for this provision. Thank you for this meal that we're about to have. Thank you for giving and providing to us, knowing good and well that there wasn't a single piece of bread, there wasn't a single glass of milk in the orphanage." He finishes praying, and as soon as he's finishing praying, the door, somebody's knocking at the door. It's the baker from the neighborhood, and he tells him, "I couldn't sleep last night because God kept waking me up and telling me that I needed to bake bread and bring it to your orphanage today." It's a true story. Not 10 minutes later after that, another knock on the door. And this time, it's actually a guy, his milk delivery truck had broken down in front of the orphanage. He says, "I'm not going to be able to make it. I can't deliver this milk today. Can I just donate it to you guys?" See, God makes the impossible possible. That's just one little testimony of his goodness. This, our lives are filled with those kind of testimonies. Maybe not that extreme, but why not? We have to be faithful to it, right? We have to keep asking. God makes the impossible possible. He is good. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus himself says what? Jesus looked at his disciples and says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen. Number four, the fourth point in the message, it says that worship is a natural response to receiving God's perfect gift. Worship is a natural response to receiving God's perfect gift. We're going to read that in Luke chapter. Actually, I'm going to finish reading that section. In verse 39, it says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town on the hill of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her.' And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will be blessed by me. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his hands. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Amen. Now that's called Mary's song. You guys know that. It's also called the Magnificat. But it's a beautiful expression of worship. It starts off in verse 46 as, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices with God in my favor." When God redirects you and you realize that God has actually given you a gift, an opportunity for Him to be glorified in our lives, it should change our reaction and response. It's not one of fear. It's not one of anxiety, but it leads us to worship, to understand that really God, that was a gift. And sometimes, and I'll say this, and you guys have heard me say this before, sometimes God will guide you and redirect you to a very painful place in your life. A place where I would say, man, I call that the moment where even your soul feels like it's wounded. Where you cry and it's like mocos coming out, like ugly, like we in Spanish it's called a llanto. Like it hurts your soul that you can't believe. But God is redirecting you. And God is faithful and He is good. And when you have those moments, hold on to Jesus Christ. Hold on to God. He is faithful and He is good. Because it's those moments in our lives when God will say, because usually that brings us to our knees. It brings us to a place where we can say, you know what, God, I don't know what's going on, but I need you to do whatever it is. I can't take this anymore. Will you just help me? You get me through this. I don't have the strength to do it. The verse that Stephanie says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Not that I can do all things because I'm strong. But it brings us a reminder that we can go back to God and that He is faithful to deliver us through those trials. And if we're honest though, sometimes those most painful times of our lives that create those soul wounds is what brought you back to God in the first place. And as you go on your journey and your walk and you see His goodness and you see what He had planned and you saw that His plans were much better than yours, you can think back, and even though you would say it and say, man, I don't ever want to relive that painful moment of my life, that soul wound moment of my life, but it's what got me here. It's what led me to be where I am. And then you'll even almost, as you mature in your walk, say, I'm thankful for that wound. I'm thankful for that heartbreak. I'm thankful for the disappointment, because it's what brought me here. God, you are good. And your plans were always better. And I just couldn't see it. So if you're in that storm right now, hold on. If you're going to walk into that storm, remember God's faithfulness. We're not exempt from heartache. We're not exempt from storms. But we belong. We have a Savior who is for us. We have the perfect gift in Jesus Christ. So hold on to that. You have a church body that loves you, that wants to support you. Hold on. God is good. Amen. And when we recognize what God was doing, the natural response is to worship. The natural response is to give praise to God every morning. The natural response is to be thankful and to be intentional to be thankful. Because, listen, we live in a world where you're always being sold a different thing. That your happiness and your joy is on having the next new car, the next item, the next this and that. Forget about all that. You don't need any of that. We need God and we need our health and our family, and that's it, you know, honestly. When we prioritize things in our life like that, man, it just, things start to make so much sense, and it fills you with a sense of peace that surpasses understanding. So worship is our call as believers every single day. Every single day is an opportunity to worship. How we go about our life, how we interact, how we do our work is all an act of worship. And it's our natural response from receiving God's perfect gift. Amen? So today, right, just a reminder, God's plans are greater than our circumstance. Even when you feel overwhelmed or your things are out of control, we can trust Him. He brings peace that calms our fear, and His power is limitless. So if you're going through a storm right now, if you're going through an illness, a disease, you're going through a chaos, you have a relationship that needs to be mended, God can do that. God is God. We just have to be faithful to Him. We sometimes want to rush and fix it ourselves. But we have to trust that God is sovereign. He's in control. We got to let go and let God lead. Amen? And lastly, our worship is a fitting response to His perfect gift. So for us, let our hearts be filled with gratitude and thankfulness. And listen, as you go about this Christmas season, remember again why we're celebrating what we're celebrating. You already have the perfect gift in Jesus Christ. So don't overthink the gift giving, family gatherings, that I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to do all these things. Those of you that are taking finals, don't overthink it. You already have the perfect gift. Yes, I'm not saying, you know, flunk it. No, we're not saying that. But everything with perspective and what God says, right? They're like, no, we're going to get A's. I like that. They're already, but everything with perspective. You already have the perfect gift. You're already loved by God. You're enough. So we don't have to keep striving to figure out all these things. But we have to accept it. Because isn't it culturally, if somebody gives you a gift, you better accept it, huh? If somebody offers you something to eat, even if you're full, you better eat it anyway. Right? Yeah, it's true. Amen. 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 That's so true. Denying somebody the blessing, right? God has given us the ultimate blessing, just the same way as our brother said that Virginia gave him a gift. He didn't want it, but was denying the blessing. Listen, we can't deny the blessing to God. He wants to bless us. He's already blessed us by sending His Son as a testimony to His love for us. So we have to accept the gift. Accept the gift. And what do we do with it? Do we just put it away? What do we do with a gift? You don't put it on? I mean, clothe yourselves, right? Get in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let Him transform your life. The good news is that once you receive the gift, that is the one gift that you can re-gift to somebody else. because now you got it. So let's be intentional this Christmas season to prepare the way and to remember the hope and the peace and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord God, thank you for this morning and thank you for this time, Lord God, that you've given us together, Lord, to be reminded about your love, about your grace, about how awesome you are, about how loving you are and giving you are. That you didn't stand aside and you didn't create the universe and the earth and just leave us to our own, Lord. You stepped in. You sent your Son to be born in the most humblest environments for the forgiveness of our sins. So God, thank you again, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you give us peace in the middle of fear. Thank you that you are redirecting. Thank you that your plans are way better than our plans. Thank you, Lord God, even for the trials and the storms that brought us back to you, Lord God. Lord, will you continue to use this time, Lord God, this season, for us to be intentional to invite, to share the good news of who you are. Help us to not be wrapped up in the material things of this world. Father God, right now, Lord, I just ask that you forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord God, in the areas where we strayed away, Lord God. We've not been right. Lord God, to live is to struggle. We're not perfect, Lord. We're not. Only you are perfect. Only you are good. So meet us at our need. Help us to repent and turn back to you, Lord God. Thank you again that your grace and your mercy, Lord God, are renewed daily for us, minute by minute, second by second. If we will repent, turn away from our sin and give it to you and ask for forgiveness. Lord God, if there's relationships that need to be restored in our lives, like, would you help us, Lord God, to do our part, Lord God, to humble ourselves, to ask for forgiveness, or to accept an apology, Lord God, if we need to. Life is too short to be worried and to carry grudges and burdens, Lord God. Help us live past that, to be filled with peace that surpasses understanding that only comes from you. Accept that gift as well, Lord God, the gift of forgiveness and the gift of forgiving in this season, Lord. You are so good to us, Lord God. I pray right now for health to be restored, Lord, marriages to be encouraged, relationships to be restored if there's any strife, Lord. We be with our church family. Continue to guide us and move us towards a perfect unity that you describe, Lord, in your book in John 17. That we will be united and that people will know that there's something different happening in this church body, Lord God. That they will believe that you, Heavenly Father, sent the Son by the unity of the church. That they know that we have been with you, Lord Jesus. Help us to continue to achieve our mission, Lord God, just to know you more and to make you known. Thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and all that you extend and what you do. Lord God, in this season, will you protect our youth as well, Lord God? Protect their minds and their hearts. Draw them closer to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, have us just be intentional in this time to create opportunities, Lord God, to be thankful, to worship you, and to give you all the adoration that you deserve in this Christmas, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you offer us by your death on the cross. We don't take it for granted, Lord God. I know we celebrate the birth, but we always look forward to the cross. We always look forward to the cross and what it means there for the redemption that you paid, Lord God, that we can have a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for this morning and for this day. Watch over us, Lord God. Keep us safe in this fog, Lord. Continue to provide for us in all of our needs, Lord God, but no matter what, Lord, help us to be filled with a heart of gratitude to you, Lord. Love you. In Jesus Christ's name.